by Pete Thomas. Everyone know Pete? Pete is one of the pillars in our church, and he's going to, yes, bringing God's word and sharing God's word with us today and what God's put on his heart. And can we give him a really, really warm welcome? Thank you.
Oh, so awesome. Yeah, absolutely. My wonderful wife, thank you. Okay, it's exciting. God is good. God is good. Before I preach, I just really think it's important just to share something. During the worship, John brought a specific word, freedom. He talked about some specific people wanting freedom from something. Just to let you know, John hasn't been hacking email accounts. We believe that our God, who knows everything, wants to reveal stuff to set people free. And so this morning we just weighed that word up as a prophetic team of people, and we really believe that that is a word for a man. And at the end of the day, I don't know who it is, but God does. And after we've preached this morning, after I've spoken, just listen. And this morning, can I just ask, if you think that was you, don't miss out. Because there's something in the spiritual realms that when God speaks, he has the ability to set you free from something that would otherwise take you years and years, and God can set you free in an instant.
Amen.
And the opportunity is for you this morning. And actually, it doesn't have to be you think, well, if that, when that word was spoken, something in your spirit said, oh, I've had a spotlight moment in my life. I know what it is when God speaks to me. And I'm sure this morning you think, oh, a little bit uncomfortable. God likes to make us a bit uncomfortable. Why? A bit like your parents as children. He likes us sometimes because he wants to bring you back to a place of amazing love. Okay, that wasn't what I was preaching on, but I just don't want to let it go. Okay, this morning we're going to read from the 23rd Psalm. Good Psalm, we know that one already. Okay, 23rd Psalm. Very good. I bought my Bible. I know we can all do it on phones, but I thought I'd bring my hardback copy. Just a small little thing. And as I realised, it was a Christmas present. And I realised that as I'm getting older, the print really is quite small. I'm also going to try and preach from my iPad, which is a new challenge. So who knows? But exciting. When you do these things, take a risk. Who knows where God goes? Let's go for it. Yay. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
I think we'd all pretty like that, yeah? Pretty good? Pretty good? Amazing psalm. And actually, when we read this psalm, it's all very familiar to us. Of course, we know that David was a shepherd. Yeah, we know David was a shepherd, just to let you know. So actually, when he talks about the role of shepherd, he knows what he's talking about. He's talking from an experience point of view. And he'd have spent many years doing it. He'd know what it was to be a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. He'd know how it was to make sure that the flock were kept safe. He'd know how to protect that flock. He'd know how to make sure that the flock was protected and not devoured. He'd know what it was to keep them safe. And he would have known which sheep were his. So you've got to hold all of that into context when we read this psalm. When in fact David is not our shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord this morning is your shepherd. In Ezekiel, God says, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus takes that even further when he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Yeah? And it's just really important that we hold on. That this morning, I want us to have an image of God as our shepherd. And not just an average shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And if you get nothing else out of this morning, just remember this, that your God is a good shepherd. And he knows how to protect you. He knows you by name. You may not know him this morning, but he knows the hairs of your head. He knows everything about you. He knows when you sleep. He knows when you are awake. This morning, the Lord wants to declare of you, he is your shepherd. And he is a good shepherd. And this morning, as I look at this psalm, I want to look at three areas: provision, protection, and promise. Tim can do the three C's, I think, and I'm doing the three P's. Whoa. Woo, competition. Yeah, I think that was more God than anything else. I'm not good on these things. Anyway, never mind. That's good. Okay. So, here we go. The words, isn't it? The Lord is, I shall not want. I mean, I don't know about you, but is that something you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, good morning, God, I shall not want. Oh, yes, I shall not want. Everything is absolutely amazing. I have everything that I want. I am in a place of contentment. I don't hear a lot of yeses and amens. I'm testing one. No, that's okay, fine. I don't know about you, but have you heard the story that Jesus tells in Luke? And he says, Luke 12, he says, don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Should we read that? Your Father already knows your needs. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. Excellent. Good. We're getting there. Good stuff. What do we have to do? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. You know what? Reality is God cares about our basic needs. God wants us to have enough to eat. It talks about him lying down in green pastures and being beside still waters. Sheep need grass and water. God wants us to have enough to live on. He wants us to, doesn't want us to be in a place of complete and utter need. He does want us to be in a place of dependence. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the house of our dreams, that we have every materialistic thing that we ever want. Because actually it says, that's what unbelievers, that's their thoughts, that's what preoccupies them. And I think sometimes, so often, and I hold myself up here, I can relate to this, sometimes we get caught up on the salary that we're earning and looking at other people's lifestyles and thinking, I wish I could have that. Why can't I have that big car or that big house or that big paycheck? And do you know what? Truth of it is, you might end up with that. Because God can do anything. But rely on God for your basic needs. Trust him. Trust him. And do you know why it's really important to trust him? Because if you don't trust him, what will you spend your time doing? Worrying. Worrying. And if you worry, what do when you worry? You think, do you say, oh, I'm going to worry, I don't know what to do. Oh, I know. I think I'll find my own plan. Do you know what? God's pretty good, but actually I'm going to Google. Right, okay, thanks God. I've got another plan. It must be better than God's plan. I'm going to wander off on this path. But God talks about, doesn't he, going down the wide and the narrow path. And at the end of the day, God wants us to go down a narrow path. And it's not always that easy, but actually God says, these are the plans that I have for you. The plans to prosper and the plans to bless you. In Jeremiah, it says, they are plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God has our provision. And actually, that's so important. And again, you know, I can't explain. I wish I could sort of take you on the journey that I've been on. But actually, do you know what? Until you really hold on to the fact that God will provide, it's really hard to go further. So if nothing else, just stop at The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Stop at that until you get it. Until you say, do you know what, God, I trust you. Because when we trust him, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I was thinking about restoring our soul, I was thinking, so what's this all about? Let's say this morning we are prepared to say that actually, as a group of most people here, that we believe in God. We believe that Jesus is the King. We believe he died and set us free. And that we have an eternal inheritance. Yeah. And he's a good shepherd. Yeah. And this morning, if you don't believe that, please talk to me afterwards. Because, boy, are you missing out. Missing out. But do you know what? We can still struggle. We can still find life difficult. We can sometimes feel that sometimes he leads us still to green pastures and beside still waters. But there's an expression, isn't it? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And sometimes we're in that place and we become frenetic. We think, I'm so thirsty, God. I'm weary. Do you know what? I've been trying to do things on my own for so long. And I really want to come back to this place, God. I want to be beside still waters. I want to be in your presence. And he's so gracious because he restores our soul. He restores our soul. And I guess the illustration I had for that was, have you ever seen they have listed buildings and you can't do anything to the outside, but you can renovate the inside and transform it. And this morning, God says to you this morning that he wants to transform your inside. He wants to make you more and more like Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus?
Yeah.
I want to think more like Jesus. I want to have the same attitude as Jesus. When I see situations, I want to know, how would Jesus respond like that? I don't want to be a person who walks by on the other side. I want to be a person who responds. But God, I need to be someone who is dependent on God, who is confident that he knows my needs and will provide for my basic needs. And I need to be somebody that's prepared to come back and say, God, I need you to restore my soul. Restore my soul. And God does that amazingly through his Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that we have to do. It's not like we have to go on a course. Oh, yes, I'm going to sign myself up for the 10-week course of restoring my soul. That sounds good. Open university, I think. Actually, do you know what? Our God is so good. This morning in the worship, did you not feel there was something about God in that? Did you feel a sense of a presence of God? His Holy Spirit just coming close to you? Whispering in your ear. Saying, come on. Come on. I want to do business with you this morning. Why? Because I love you. I love you. You know, if you've got children, you know what it is as a parent. You want the very best for your children. You want them to make every opportunity of life. You want to steer their paths. And actually, as we know with children, sometimes they don't listen and they think they can do it on their own. But do you know what? We want to bring our children to that place where we can steer them. And this morning, God says, I want to, listen to my Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you, my children. I want to restore your soul because I want you to have the very best. And actually, it's really important that we get that right because we move on to the next part of our story. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's cheerful for a Sunday morning, isn't it? Brighten our day up. I'm sure Jerry, as a head teacher, when he does his morning briefing, will say, good morning, school. We're all going to walk through the shadow of the valley of death. I thought I might do that as a sales team thing. Hi, guys. Sales up. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death today. Steve's actually going to do that for the church weekend. I don't know if that's going to affect bookings. But actually, you know what? The reality of it is that sometimes life can feel like that, can't it? Sometimes life can feel like we are going through it. Ugh. Recently, I've really been struggling at work. I'm a sales director. And guess what? I get assessed by sales. Head teachers get assessed by results. I get by sales. And I don't know about you, but, it's been really tough. You know, there's customers that I've had for years that haven't spent anything, or they've gone elsewhere because of financial pressures. Things have, you know, and I'm sure the same is pressures on teachers, actually. They change the exam, the way they mark exams, and the pressures on teachers. Actually, it's really tough. And you feel a responsibility for children, and you feel a responsibility for business. And actually, you know, whatever it is that you carry, whatever it is that you're involved in, sometimes, you know, it just is really, really tough. Christine, you're involved with social action. I'm sure she gets frustrated because she doesn't get the funding or the things that she wants. And you just think, oh, and we think we're in that valley. And I was at a conference yesterday. And I was reminded, it was very interesting. And the guy was saying, do you know what? He said, there's something in Philippians 2:14. It says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. And he says, that's not an either or. That's not if you fancy it. It says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. And I'm thinking, oh, that's really hard, isn't it? Do you have any idea, God, what I'm going through? You know. And then to make it difficult, in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, you know, I suppose my view is that this was written a long time ago. They have no idea what it's like to live in the 21st century. Have they any idea what it's like to be in the world now? Unfortunately, our God is eternal, and I think he does. So, what do we do? Do we give up? No. The psalmist, I will fear no evil, for who is with me? You are with me. Who is the you? God. Who is the good shepherd? He is with us. And you know, this morning, it's great. I love the fact when Steve leads worship. It's awesome. And do you know what? I don't speak to Steve during the week. I don't have any communication with him except on Facebook where I like pictures. And this... he puts a lot of them... No. But this morning, what's he saying? What's the song we sing? God, the Lion of Judah, fighting our battles. I mean, just to think of those words. God, the Lion of Judah, fighting our battles. You know what? We don't have to go it alone. We don't have to go it alone. We have God Almighty on our side. I don't know about you, but that's a team I want to be in. God Almighty is fighting our battles. He is there right beside us. Jerry shared, his banner is over us. You know, the banner of the king. You imagine, I had a picture yesterday about an army with a big banner over it. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Narnia, and the troops are gathered and the tents are there, and we are in the winning camp. Can we get excited? We're in the winning camp. Yeah, we're on the winning side. Woo, I'm not a football fan, but I know it must be depressing if you're on the losing side, but we're on the winning side. It's exciting. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord wants the very best for us. He has plans to prosper you and the plans to bless you, plans to look after you. He has the best plans for your life. He knows the stresses and the strains that you're going through. He understands where it is that you're at. He knows the pains you're suffering from. He knows the things that life has thrown at you. And you know what? He doesn't say to you, well, just get on with it. He says, I am with you. That picture of the footprints in the sand, where the man looks and says, where were you, God? And God says, that's when I carried you. And we have to have that image, because if we don't trust God, it's all a bit, ugh. You can't sort of say, well, I trust you in this, but I don't. He's God Almighty. He either is God Almighty and can do all things, or actually it's just a really lovely idea and he makes me feel good on a Sunday morning. But no, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the thing that he flung stars into space and created the world. He's the thing that gives us our hope, that transforms our tomorrow. He changed our yesterday and makes a difference today. You know, when I read that, I thought I might paraphrase it and say, God, you're with me. You've covered it. I trust you in my situation, because however dark it seems, your darkness is as light, for nothing can be hidden from you. You are my way out. You are my provider. You are my protector and bring me peace in my times of hardship. I'm sorry, I'm not a psalmist, but I thought it was okay. You see, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Should we say that together? If God is for us, who can stand against us? A little bit more conviction. If God is for us, who can stand against us? Do you know what? That makes such a difference. That makes a difference to that when you go into work tomorrow morning. Makes a difference to everyone you speak to. Because you go in not with your own agenda and your own self-reliance, you go in with the hope that Jesus Christ, God, the Good Shepherd, is with you. He's with you in those difficult meetings. I'll pick on Jerry again. He's with you in those staffing briefings. He's with you when you're talking about results. He's with you when you're talking in an educational situation. He's with me when I'm talking in a sales situation. He's with you when you're talking in a social action situation. He's with you when you're walking down the street and you see somebody sitting on the side of the street and they're looking lost. It makes a difference in the way that we live. It makes a difference. Because do you know what? We don't have to worry because our God is with us. And do you know what? The truth of it is that you're probably sitting there saying, you know, you don't know my situation. Do you know how often I've prayed about this situation and I'm still waiting for breakthrough? And the truth of it is, do you know, in the Christian walk, there is some really hard stuff and I wish I had an answer. But I just believe our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. And do you know what? What do? We just keep banging on that door, knocking on the door, you know, like the persistent widow. Eventually, God's going to get fed up, and I think he's going to say, okay. I heard a great story about a woman. I think it was at a conference, and this woman was said, you know, they'd prayed for somebody for 7 times, and nothing had happened. Nothing happened. And then God said to them, keep praying. And they prayed 10 times. It was only on the 10th time that this woman was healed. Imagine what would happen if they'd just given up. Sometimes God wants us to be that persistent. I don't know why, but we have a chance one day to ask him. I've got loads of questions. Loads of questions. And then it's really interesting on the psalm. David moves away from being the shepherd to almost celebrating who he is in God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you know what? We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And do you know what? The thing that's really important is that actually, that place is not way off there. It's now. We can experience a part of the kingdom of God now in the life that we live. It's exciting. We can be in an amazing relationship with Jesus. Where do you want to dwell this morning? Where do you want to dwell? This morning, I just think God wants to remind us that, you know, he's prepared a table for us. We've been invited to a banqueting table. You know, invited. You know what? We get invitations through, don't you? And, you know, well, what do we want to do? You know, my daughter's doing a fundraising thing and it says invite. You know, you get an invite and you can either accept, reject or say maybe. And I wonder this morning, where are you? Because God this morning sends out an invitation. He says, do you know what? Do you want something extra? Do you want something more of me? I'm not talking about, you know, this morning I think God does want to speak to somebody who doesn't know God, Jesus. And I think he does want to bring them to a place of salvation. But this morning I think this message is for people who've been walking with God for a while. And he says, do you know what? I want something more for you. I've got something more for you. Something more to give you. Do you know what's really interesting is? When David talks about being anointed, when David was anointed as king of Israel, it took him another 15 years to actually be there. 10 to 15 years, maybe, Tim. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't instantaneous. And sometimes there's a bit of a process. There's a process. But this morning, I think God wants to anoint us. God wants to anoint us this morning. He wants to set us apart to do the things that he's laid on your heart. The things that you've been thinking, how can I? Have I got a capacity? Will I be able to do it? I just don't know. And God says, do you know what? I'm calling you. I want you. Come to the table. It's laid. And I've got some great things for you to do. You're my children. I know you by name. I know the sheep of my pasture. Wow. This morning, do you want that from God this morning? Do you want to be anointed one? Do you want that? Do you want God's presence this morning? Do you want God to just to quicken your heart and to let you dream dreams? Do you want to see a different perspective? Do you want to have the things that are of the kingdom in your heart? Do you want to look out and see the world in a different way? I know I do. Interestingly, as we were worshipping, there was a tweet that came up that was shared, so I'm just going to try and find it, which I thought was very good. If I could find it, it would be really better, or even better. Hang on. Nikki Gumbel tweeted, and it was shared. And I thought, God's good here, you know? He's modern, okay? And I think this is great. Peace is not being where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It's being in the midst of those and still being calm in your heart. Yeah? You know, this morning, you know, we want to be kingdom people. You know, this morning, we want to be sheep of the King. This morning, God says to us, you know, He's got great plans for us. Great plans for us. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in that sort of, you know, God, what have you got for me? And actually, Duncan says, and I love it, and he says, you know, I don't want to be someone who's full of potential. I don't want to be, it could have been me, I could have done that. I want to be, yeah, use me. Here I am, holy and available for you. What's it that God's sowing on your heart? Doesn't have to be anything that you think, there's almost no limit. It doesn't have to be social action. It could, you know, specifically out on the streets, just could be those kind words to your neighbours next door, speaking to a member of staff, bringing a word of knowledge to somebody, a word to someone in your, you know, who are walking, and they just say to them, do you know what? God loves you. Do you know, just saying those words to somebody, God loves you. It's amazing. It's amazing. This morning, I just think God wants to remind us of some promises as well that He's spoken over your lives. I think God this morning is saying, do you know what? Some of you have promises and you're thinking, well, I haven't seen those fulfilled. And God this morning says, I want to fulfill them. I want to breathe life onto those promises. Because God's promises never return to Him empty. Never return to Him empty. God this morning says, I want to fulfill promises in your life. And do you know what? The great thing about this is we can choose to do with it what we want. We can say, that was lovely, Pete, thank you very much, and move on. Or we can engage in it and say, do you know what? You are my good shepherd. You are my good shepherd. The great thing is that sheep get to hear the shepherd's voice. This morning, can you hear the shepherd? Can you hear him speaking to you this morning? Does your heart quicken and you think, do you know what, God? I want to be so much more in you. I want you to take my situation. I want to be a man or a woman or a young person or a child who trusts in you completely. Trusts in you completely. That when I'm walking through the valley of death, I know that you are with me, fighting my corner, because you are the Lion of Judah and your roar will defeat the enemy. You've already paid that great price. Yes, life doesn't promise to be a bed of roses, but we are victorious. We are in a place of victory. And then we get the amazing place to go and sit before the King. We have it in two stages. We have an eternal inheritance that one day we will be seated in the heavenly realms. But actually, we don't have to wait. We can encounter God now. He has a job for us to do. His Spirit wants to enable us and equip us. He wants to fulfill those promises in your life. He wants us to be different tomorrow so that we can share the love of Jesus Christ when we walk out of here. Because church isn't really this. This is just the building. The church is us, His people. And He wants us to go out like He did and show the love to other people. Talk to them. Be different. Be different. God wants to bestow His favour on us. And this morning, what's our heart? Do we say, I shall dwell in the house for as long as it's convenient? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as things are going really well? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord when things get better? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord when we have a really big meeting and the worship is super? Or do we say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Forever. Now. Forever. That's my heart. That's my heart. And this morning, I'm going to ask Steve to come back and lead. And I just think God is speaking to us, and I'm going to trust that the Lord will speak to Steve as well as he leads worship. And just if you know, I just think God wants us to respond. And actually, I don't know where God's going, because do you know what? He's an amazing God, and he doesn't reveal everything to all of us. But this morning, if that was a word for you about freedom, John, I'm sure, will be happy to pray for you. I'll be delighted to pray for you. If you want to know what it is to be hearing God, I'd love to pray with you. But let's just see what God does now in our spirits, yeah? Let's just be open to receive, because I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.